turning this evening to Daniel chapter 6, and we will be taking our lesson from verse 1 to 23. I will read the first one or two chapters then. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And our topic for today this evening is how to remain true to God in a hostile environment. How to remain true to God in a hostile environment. And we are going to learn that Daniel and his friends were able to live like that, and therefore we can. Now I want to give just a brief background to this account. And it's a story that I'm sure all of you know. Daniel in the lion's den, everybody knows. But we are going to learn so many lessons from it. Long, long ago, God chose one man, Abraham, and promised that through him and his seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. For you all know how God called Abraham. The account is in Genesis. We can't turn there, but I'll just tell you the story. Now, this one man became a family, and the family became a nation. And at last, the nation went down to Egypt, where they remained for over 400 years. And this had been prophesied already, that his family will find themselves as slaves in Egypt. And they were there for over 400 years. And eventually, God brought them out as he had promised. And in a very mighty way, we all learn about the plagues, about 10 plagues that God had to bring to King the Pharaoh before he allowed the Israelites to go. And we know about the Passover, and they are coming through the Red Sea. And for 40 years, this nation, which was led by Moses, they were wandering in the wilderness. Throughout that time, they were receiving God's law and his instructions concerning the tabernacle, because they were now becoming a nation, and they are also becoming a church, God's people. So God has to teach them his sacrifices, the priesthood, how to appoint the priests, and also the way to the promised land, which is Canaan. So they were there for 40 years. Eventually, the nation came to the promised land under Joshua. But Joshua also died. And they went through so many, apart from the death of Joshua, they went through so many troubles with the other nations. They were conquered here and there, and eventually they were divided among the 12 tribes. After this came the period of the judges, men who God raised up to be like to deliver the nation from successive conquests, people who were conquering them. Then came the period of the kings. The first king was Saul, followed by David, Solomon, Rehoboam, and all these people reigned over the 12 tribes. But shortly after Rehoboam's reign, the nation split into two. In the north was the kingdom of Israel, which is also called Ephraim, and on the south was the kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom was composed of 10 tribes, and the capital was Samaria. And the southern kingdom was composed of 2 tribes, which had their capital at Jerusalem. At first, the kingdom were enemies, but they later became friends, and eventually they became enemies again. The north had different kings, but none of them was godly. At last, God moved to judge the nation, as he had been all doing. He warned them through the prophets because of their apostasy. Apostasy means like going away from the truth and immorality. God was sending prophets to warn them about all these things. They never heeded the warnings, and God allowed the enemies, the Assyrian army, to come and sweep them from the north. And in 722 BC, they fell and they disappeared from the earth entirely. That is what God did to them. The southern kingdom continued for about 100 years, over 100 years. And at that time, all the kings were with one dynasty, like they followed one line, as we have the Asantehene and the royal family. And these, they were following from David. It was the David's line that were ruling. They also practiced apostasy. But the only difference is that in their time, some of the kings were godly. So once in a while, there will be a spiritual revival, and then they will fall again. They will come to please God, then they fall again. God will punish them, then they come again. That was their practice. And then in 609 BC, a king called Jehoiakim mounted the throne. And he too did nothing to stop the prevailing idolatry and the immorality that was going on. It rather increased it. And the prophets were warning him that unless they repented, there will be judgment. But the warnings were at the same altogether not heeded to. Then in 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar transported all the people from Judah to Babylon. That is what we have the saying, from the rivers of Babylon. We have been hearing people singing about that. And this is in Psalm 137, verse 1. It talks about them in Babylon singing in a strange land. The nation had turned deaf ear to the warnings of God and now left in the mercy of their enemies because of their not listening to God. God allowed them to be punished. Now they were living in an enemy's country. However, within these people, there were some very few people who were godly, as has always been. That all the time, God has his people. No matter how small they are, at any time, God has a remnant who are godly people. And among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were godly people, according to Daniel 1, verse 6. And the first six chapters of Daniel tells us all about these things and the remnants and the number and all their promises and all the rest and their witnesses. But to happenings in our land now, we refer to what is happening now in our lands. It's not the same thing that is happening. We sin against God. We don't hear God's warnings. We don't heed to his warnings. All the prophets, people are preaching and people are making nonsense of them. But all the time, God has his people. Regardless of what the situation is, God's people are always there. Remember, God spoke to Isaiah and said he had left 7,000 men. When Isaiah thought he was the only person left, God said he had 7,000 men who had not bowed down to Baal. That is in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 54. So that is the background of this story. So it is those who came to Babylon, among them was this man Daniel that we are going to talk about today. Now back to our text. It came to pass that the king, as we read earlier on, whose name was Darius, who had ascended to the throne, had decided to set over the kingdom 120 princes who should be over the whole kingdom. From verse 1 to 3, we read that because Daniel was with an excellent spirit, which means he had God's spirit in him, he was promoted to such a high honor. See, Daniel was preferred above the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, which means he had God's spirit in him. He was a godly man. And if you are a godly person, even the ungodly people can see it in you. In your workplaces, wherever you are, if you are godly, even the ungodly can see it in you. As we are going to learn later on, even the king who said that Daniel should be punished, the king knew that there was something in Daniel. He knew that Daniel was serving the living God, the true God. But then, because he assigned the treaty, it had to happen. And we know that all things happen for good for those who love the Lord. Anyway, whatever God does is for a good reason. From verse 4, we learn that every honest are dangerous because they cause jealousy. See, the presidents and the princes sought occasion against Daniel, according to verse 4. They sought for a time to accuse Daniel and to get him punished because they were jealous of him. I don't want to talk much about that, but that is personally my reason for always saying that a Christian can never get involved in politics, because they will see what is in you, they will be jealous of you, they will find cause to deal with you. Now, from verse 5, they acknowledge his integrity. He said that we shall not find occasion against this Daniel, except concerning the law of God. They knew that Daniel was an honest person, that they would never get any fault against him. There's nothing they can get against Daniel apart from him serving his God. Now, from verse 6 to 9, we learn that the king was persuaded to sign a foolish decree because of what they told him, what the presidents and the princes told him, and to impose such a cruel penalty. All was aimed at Daniel, because they knew that Daniel, no matter what they say, will serve his God, and therefore they will use that as an occasion to accuse him and then to punish him. He said, make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except of thee, O King Darius, he shall be cast into the den of lions. They knew that Daniel can never stay for 30 days without praying to his God. So he said that for 30 days, anyone who will speak or talk about any other god or man apart from the king, he shall be cast into the lions, Daniel. And King Darius signed the decree. He signed it, even though within himself he knew that Daniel was a righteous man. Because of the people around him, he had to sign. And he signed it. From verse 10, we learn that Daniel ignored their threat. And he said that he was praying towards Jerusalem, the place where God puts his name. You can read that also in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 6. He said he was praying 3 times daily. Even though they were saying that within 30 days, if they found him praying once, you had to put him in the den. He was praying 3 times a day in defiance of their threat. From verse 11 to 15, now the enemies accused him and demanded his death. He said, these men assembled and found Daniel praying. Then they came near and spake before the king and said, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree may be changed. So now they come to tell the king that because he has signed the decree and the decree can never be changed, they have to apply it. From verse 16 to 17, Daniel is now cast into the den of the lions. So they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. From verse 17 to 20, we saw what the king's conduct. It says, the king who signed this agreement that he should be put into the lion's den, now he encouraged Daniel. He said he was even fasting. He goes early to his... He went early to the den to inquire of him. He spake and said, thy God will deliver thee. So the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't even sleep. He was fasting the whole night because of Daniel. Now he arose in the morning and went in haste unto the den. He arose from his sleep, from his house, from his palace, and he came to where Daniel was, to the den. And he said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able to deliver thee from the lions? He knew God would deliver him. So he called Daniel and asked him if his God had been able to deliver him from the lions then. Then from 21 to 23, we saw that Daniel was truly delivered. He said, my God have sent his angels and have shut the lions' mouth, and they have not hurt me. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in God. If you believe in God truly, you fear no evil. No matter where you are, you fear no demon. You don't fear anybody, because remember, once you are with God, His Spirit is in you. He protects you. He guides you. But wherever you are, don't let people find fault against you by any other misconduct. Let it be against your service to God, and then He will deliver you. If you are in a working environment, and even if you are a Christian, and you behave as the people there, and you misconduct yourself, remember that God will leave you to be punished. But if your occasion for accusing you is for serving your God truthfully, as it happened in Daniel's case, you know that your God will deliver you. And before then, we read about how He had delivered the Israelites from passing through the Red Sea, stopping the flow of River Jordan, and all that. And now we hear what He has done for Daniel. So if you are a true Christian and you have your faith in God, remember that He will also deliver you. He has said that we should call Him in our days of trouble, and He will hear us. Now, what are the lessons we learn from this account? We learn from this account that all who trust in God are not miraculously delivered. We know that God can deliver you, will deliver you, but then we should know that it's not all that are delivered by God. Sometimes God allows certain people to suffer for His sake, even to face death and die for His sake. We know of all the apostles and how they died. We know of Stephen. He was stoned to death. What did he do? He served to God. Why did God allow him to die? Peter, Paul, all the apostles died as martyrs. But if you have faith in God, you accept either way. Remember when Daniel was praying, he said that even if God says he should die, he will still save him. Whether he saves him or he leaves him to die, he will still save him. So if you have faith in God, you accept whatever God allowed to happen in your way. Remember Romans 8:28 said, all things happen to the Christian for his good, whether you see it as bad or not. Once God allows it to happen, it is for your good. But Daniel was made an example of God's deliverance, that God delivers in all ages, so that God's children can say, my God is able to deliver me. Even if he does not, it will not be because he cannot, but because he will otherwise for his glory. God allows certain things to happen for his own glory. As I read, I said from Romans 8, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He has also promised that he will never give you more than you can bear. Remember, he has said that even if he gives you, he will make a way out for you. So God will never give you, he will never allow you to go through a situation that he knows that you cannot bear. Sometimes he will allow you to go through, even if he allows you, he will have a way out for you to come out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says that God will never give you more than you can bear. And even if he gives you, he will make a way out for you. The second lesson we learn is that all men of God have felt the necessity of prayer. All men of God have been prayerful people. You can't be a Christian without prayer. Prayer is an integral part of our relationship with God, our services to God. Every Christian must be a prayerful person. Like David, like Daniel, like you said, he prayed 3 times a day. How many times do you pray in a day? And they let nothing hinder them. Don't let anything hinder you from praying. Sometimes it's difficult, especially in the evenings, when you come from work and you are so tired. But don't let that hinder you. Whatever it takes for you to bow down your head and pray to God, you must do it. And we must pray always The reason is that we are in a battle. As we learned the last time, we are in a battle against forces, against the principalities, against Satan. And we know Satan is working 24 hours. So you ceasing to pray is like ceasing to fight. And you will soon yield to the devil. If you don't pray, while the devil is working 24 hours, working overtime, what will happen is that eventually you will yield to the devil. And he fights both within and without. The third lesson we learn, like I said, high positions are dangerous places. Not only in secular way, even in our work with the Lord, when you are called to a high position, it is a dangerous place. When you are successful, you will have enemies. They would like to pull you down. So those who are called to honor, whether it's secular or in God's work, need to work carefully, to walk with the Lord carefully. Evil eyes are watching for occasions against them. Even as we are here in this community as a new church, people are watching us because we have been called from God to start this church here. We can have attacks, we can have persecutions, people are watching, and we must all always know that because of that, we should walk carefully and godly, as happened in the case of Daniel. You see, because there were eyes trying to find fault with Daniel, but because he served God faithfully and because he was praying all the time, God delivered him. The fourth lesson is that God specially honors them that openly acknowledge him in all their ways. People who, whatever happens to them, they acknowledge that God is their power, that God can deliver them. Daniel, as we saw, I'm sure he wasn't praying like people are praying now, standing in the middle of the path and praying. He was praying secretly, but God heard him and he honored him openly. When they were looking for people to govern them, he said he was found with an excellent spirit. He was the one who was chosen. So even though he was praying in secret, God honored him and rewarded him openly. The fifth lesson, a willingness to suffer for Christ has always been a great testimony. When you are willing to suffer for Christ, it always brings a great testimony. Because the Christian life is a life of battle, but know who you are fighting for, know who you are battling for. It is Christ that you are suffering for. But don't suffer as a result of your own misconduct. If you are suffering as a result of what you have done yourself, then you can't say that it will be a great testimony. If you are suffering because you are giving your life to Christ, because you are serving Christ, then, as we have said, it will come with a great testimony. We saw how the king was undoubted by the courage of Daniel. See, Daniel, after all this threatening, he said, "No, I will pray to my God." That is how to suffer for Christ. I will pray to my God, regardless of what you are saying. And the king saw that this man's faith is very strong. So even though I'm not a godly person, I can see God's spirit in this man. And it's a remarkable thing for people to see that God's spirit is in you. Some people hide their identity. Some Christians, even when they go somewhere and people are talking against Christ, they can't defend Christ. They can't come openly and defend Christ. You must defend him openly wherever you go, because you know his grace and his power. And also sometimes because of fear or being sidelined for promotions or for some kind of whatever, people fail to honor Christ. People fail to suffer for him. If you are suffering for him, remember, this world is for him. Everything in this world is for him. Even if you are denied promotion somewhere and God wants you to be promoted, he will be promoted. He has control over the minds of people in authority, people in high places. They are all controlled by God. And the sixth and last lesson is that a steady and regular undaunted holiness or faithfulness is the noblest thing in the world. To be faithful, to be courageous in holiness and in righteousness is the noblest thing on earth. Nothing can be compared to that. Faith is the most wonderful thing in this world, and especially faith and belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will never go unrewarded. If you are steady in your holiness and in your faithfulness, it will never go unrewarded. You will be rewarded. God will reward you openly. Now, let's learn a few things about Daniel. First, we learn that he was very faithful in prayer. He was very, very faithful in prayer. Like we learn here, he prayed 3 times a day, even in the midst of all the threats, in the midst of where they are. They were in somebody's land. They were captives, and yet he was praying. He was fearless of the consequences, because they said if they found him praying to his God, they would put him in the lion's den. And yet Daniel was praying 3 times, not even once, or secretly. He was praying 3 times a day and facing Jerusalem for them to know that he was praying to his God. Now, he was also determined in faith. He was determined that come what may, whatever happens, his faith will not be doubted. He continued to be faithful to the Lord. And in the end, what happened? He was favored by God and delivered by God. So, in conclusion, what do we say? In everything we do, we should not fear the consequences, so long as we are in the line of God's will. So long as we are doing the will of God, never fear of the consequences. He is the ultimate. Man, there's nothing man can do. If only you are doing the will of God faithfully and in truth, you shouldn't fear of the consequences. Come what may, whatever they would like to do, to let them do it to you, once you are in the line of God's will. Also, we should be very faithful, as I've said, faithful in prayer. Prayer life, we should pray unceasingly. And also, we should trust in the living God, because trust and hope in him does not lead to disappointment. For we saw what happened in the case of Daniel. We saw what he has done to the people of Israel when he was bringing them out. In our own lives, we can testify what the Lord has done for us. So many occasions that he has delivered us from serious problems. So we can say that he is a God that we can trust. He is a God that is a living God. He sees all what happens, and he has the power. He is the omnipotent. He is the power to change situations. So why can't you trust him? Who are you trusting? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in people in high positions? Or you are trusting the living God? Friends, let's trust the living God. And in all our ways, we should acknowledge him. Everything we do, we should know that we are doing it to the glory of God. And as he did for Daniel, he will also do for us. Let's pray. Oh God, our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for thy word this evening. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Daniel in the lion's den. Father, you were able to shut the mouth of these lions for hurting him. Father, we believe that you can do the same for us. We pray that, Father, you bless these things in our hearts, that we will believe them and trust in you, and in all our ways acknowledge you. Father, come and bless us with all these things, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.